Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great show lined up for you. Part 4, final episode in the Ring of Fire. We're going into some in-depth, comprehensive review of the Ring of Fire episode. We know that we're living directly in the last days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that would offset the truth of the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, we're going to take our text, and 7. Let's go there, and we're going to read about the beast, the creature, the face of a man, the lion, and the eagle, praise Yahweh. Now, we're talking about, remember, the ring of fire. We're going back to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 9 when we review the throne in heaven. This is the application of the four beasts. Let's look at what the scripture says about Revelation beginning, we're going to begin, like I said, in verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And amidst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes, behind and before. And the first beast was like a lion. Now I want you to remember this. Remember, we're going to develop the ring of fire tonight. In the final episode, we're going to show you what would encase or enclose the holy sacred circle called the Ring of Fire. First was like a lion. Now, a lion is known as a predator. Of course, you know that Judah was the lion tribe. Now, the second beast was like a calf. Now, that calf is known in scripture as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four creatures are symbolically mentioned in the Bible. And the third beast was the face of a man. And of course, that goes west. We just went east with Judah. We went north with Dan, the bull of Taurus, if you will. In the constellation, remember there's 12 constellations, 12 tribes, with the 13th tribe, Dan, moved outside the holy circle in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Now, listen again. And the third beast had a face of a man. That's Joseph in the west. You'll find his position, the four cardinal points, if you will, of the compass, east, west, north, and south. The third one was a man, and he's the one bearing the pitcher of water in the constellation of Aquarius. We're going to get into that. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, that's Reuben in the south. Now, we're going now back to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to pick out the one that had the birthright. We're going to Joseph, if you will. We're going to see what Joseph has got to say about his position in the sacred circle. Have you ever wondered why that the ancients built altars? Have you ever wondered what they were for? Have you ever wondered why that they are used in the Bible? How that they were aligned? How that they were positioned in the heavens? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible will give you very, very distinct instructions on how to build an altar. We're going to conclude this message with the sacred circle. Let the sacred circle of your heart, the ring of fire, become motivated, committed to the sacred cause. You see, life is short at any length. Man's life is prescribed like a vapor. It appears as a vapor, and then it vanishes with no more remembrance. Now, we know that in the ring of fire that we have revealed to you the divine covenant purpose of the inward walk with the Father. The Bible says in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse, that the kingdom of heaven is within you. You have a sacred circle in your heart. Remember, we told you about skull and bones, that the heart approximately weighs 11 ounces. It's a very small pump placed in the center of your being, in the sacred circle. Well, did you know what was in the sacred circle of the altar? You know, when they encamped in Numbers chapter 2, that the heartbeat of Israel was that they would place Yahweh, their eternal God, their heavenly Father, in the center of that circle with the four aspects of the divine covenant of the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. It would be centered, if you will, right in the sacred circle in the midst of the fire. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Holy Bible would describe in Joseph's analogy here, as we read in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. You see, sometimes the more truth that you reveal, and the more that you oppose opposition to the truth, in other words, when truth comes, opposition is a natural for the carnal mind. Now, the Bible speaks about an inward man and an outward man. Now, my suggestion to you is to ignore, deny the flesh, the desires. We want to live comfortable in this life. Most of our time basically is spent at work and sleeping. Let me repeat that. If you was to collectively keep down the time that you spend working, and most everyone that's working for a living will work from 40 to 60 hours, and I think the average is about 51 hours, the average American worker, that's an American ratio, but going probably worldwide, that could possibly increase because people seem like in Europe and other places work harder to achieve, or they have to make more money to live, and it's becoming that way in America, as it's designed to take, now listen to me, it's designed the way the system of Babylon is operating with a high cost of living. Now, there's going to be a struggle for you between paying for fuel to drive around and purchasing food, so you're going to have to do a lot less with one of those so that you can maintain a status. Now, most of the time, on the average, did you know that 69% of people who are paying on mortgages in the home, 69% of them, have the husband and the wife, and in some cases, the children working to support the mortgage, the gas, and the food, and the clothing allowances that they make for their budget. And at the end of the year, we wind up, or we end up borrowing more or spending more than we make. And so then, the depletion of the savings of America on the average has fallen to an incredible all-time low for savings of the average household family. Now, who's designed this? In the ring of fire, you're right in the center of reality. In the center of your heart was the Ark of the Covenant, which was the center of the sacred circle of Numbers chapter 2, and it tells you exactly how that they were kept. Joseph dreamed this dream, and God hated for the revelation. When you come on board to be committed, unless you love your Heavenly Father in a devoted, devout, and determined cause, you can't put wife first. Well, you certainly can't put husband first. You certainly can't put children first. You certainly can't put the mortgage first. You certainly can't put food first. And so what do you put first in your life? Remember the first commandment of Mark 12:29, to love your Heavenly Father more than you love any other thing, including your wife, house, land, children, or whatever, that you place into your value zone. Remember the Bible said, now when I say value zone, I'm giving you an examination of where your heart is where your treasure is. Have you studied the Bible? Have you prayed lately? Have you got into your closet and meditated on these things? Have you literally pushed your plate back and sought for the inner knowledge of dreams, visions, and revelations? Have you come to the point where that you have made a sacrifice? Remember, the Father expects the best. And most of the time, from those who are His constituents, or those who profess Him, many profess Him with their mouth, but their heart, the ring of fire, is far from them. Now, the ring of fire is a center focus of your ability to concentrate beyond the present things that cause you to falter or fail to enter in to His sanctuary for devout, determined, and devoted worship of the Spirit rather than the creature. In other words, we go to Sunday school and we get out of Sunday school and we can't wait to get downtown to get our meal. We hear the portly Sunday school teacher give us one of those little Easter time stories, or it's almost like putting children to bed. They read them a bedtime story, and churches have put mankind, Christian in particular, to sleep with a form of godliness that seems right. Now, let me repeat that. There is a form of godliness. It's not a desire of burning fire. Remember, the Bible said it would be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. What's that mean? It means that, oh, it's nice to hear these wonderful romantic episodes of collective biblical appraisal of someone else making sacrifices. Oh, that inspires us. Well, I'd like to do more for God, glory to God, but, I have just married a wife. Or I've just bought a yoke of oxen. Or I've just bought some land, and I need to attend to those pressing items, and then I will make my fortune, and then I'll take my ease, and then I will commit wholly to the Father. That ain't the way it works. You must, above all things, put your Heavenly Father and His worship and His commitment that He requires number one in your life, or you will fail to enter in. And the Bible says to strive, as Joseph dreamed a dream and revealed it to his brethren, it took them out of the norm. It took them out of the tradition that they were accustomed to. He's fixing to unveil the ring of fire. And he said, behold, I was binding the sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want the Holy Spirit to reign over us with a ring of fire. Now, the Bible says, if you're neither hot nor cold, most Christians today that worship God, which the Bible says in John 4:24, you must worship Him in a committed cause, in spirit and in truth. Now, it's most people would freely like the spirit. Oh, they love to hear the nice sounding music that we've got in the churches today. You know, it's very upbeat, uplifting. The singers are very well talented to present entertainment. And so we sit in our air-conditioned pews and we listen to these soothing words as they sing and make melody in almost a professional grade manner. And because that they can play well on instruments and sing well to entertain or to appease the hearing of the constituents in the assembly. And then here comes the pastor or the preacher or the visiting evangelist. And the tickling of the ears continues and no demand for commitment of excellence above and beyond the call of duty. When is the last time that you ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights? Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've not done that. I really mean to do that. You know, we're always putting off that which the Spirit requires. And don't tell me that the Spirit hadn't spoke to you to get near to Him, to press or to draw near to the quality that's recommended of worship or giving of oneself toward a commitment and a cause to keep the faith. Shall He indeed have dominion over us? You know, the outward man, always in a struggle, all he means to do good, he's from the tree of good and evil. He has a mind to do good, and then there is the mind to do evil or to pull away from doing good. Now, what's doing good? To present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Men are caught up in the affairs of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches or the pursuit of things that are considered more of a quality nature than is the Spirit. Now, the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. Now, Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, you must make commitment. Remember, the old song, 99 and a half won't do. You've got to make 100. A lukewarm person, or the person that fails to approach. Remember, the Bible said to strive to enter into straight gate. Remember, that's an inward venture. Remember, there's an inward man. Is your inward man fed as well as your outward man? Your outward man, perhaps, probably, on an average, has eaten at least 3 meals today, because the outward man demanded to be fed. And the Bible says if a man be given the appetite, most of us is overweight, most of us is out of shape. Most of us have never fasted 40 days, let alone doing something for him. You see, fasting is only to prepare you for the journey. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel, to the scattered sheep, he said. But they hated him more for his words. You see, when a gospel is preached and it pierces the heart into the living ring of fire, you see, this ring of fire is within you, just like the sacred altar of the 12 stones at the 12-step kingdom. For those that approach, you must take the 12 steps toward the kingdom of heaven. Now, there is exactly, if you go to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians and count the 17 steps of the works of the flesh, which is to oppose the 12 steps of the approaching of the Mighty One, and we must all appear before him. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't appear now, you're not going to appear later. If you don't love him now, you won't have the chance to love him later. If you don't keep his commandments now, you won't keep them later. If you don't serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength now, you won't serve him later. What is the fool that said in his heart, there is no God, or there is no recompense of my disobedience? Oh, I'll talk God out of his judgment. Oh, I'll make a way. Oh, I'll borrow from someone else. Oh, yes, I don't have any oil, but I will get it before I depart. Take heed, lest an unbelieving mind or a seed of unbelief spring up and hinder you from the appointments. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about the second Passover and its effects on the spiritual state of man. Now, why would the Heavenly Father hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them to the babes and sucklings of the sincere desire for the milk of the Word? You did run well, he said. What hindered you? Remember the analogy of the seed? Some fell in the process upon, well, what did it fall upon? Well, it fell upon stony ground. And the Bible says that because it had no substance of conviction, of dedication, of devotion, that it sprang up and then withered away. Are we having started the race, or to lay the foundation, are we now capable of building the foundation? Dr. Gary and myself were just talking about the commitment that it takes to endure, to press toward the mark, to make that requirement, to get to the maximum limit. You see, the minimum, you know, if you just make a minimum effort, then you're going to get a minimum response. Remember, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, or you give the flesh precedent over the spirit man, if the spirit man is hungry, and you feed the man, outward man, three times a day, and deny to give the spirit man a chance, you see, he gets stronger when you get weaker. When you push your plate back and cease from your own labors, or cease your pursuit for the things of the world, the carnal, the fleshly, then the Heavenly Father will enhance and brighten the ring of fire. The aura of those who have fasted and prayed is entirely different from those that are fleshly and carnal. You can tell someone that has presented themselves holy and acceptable to God, which is the reasonable service in a dedicated cause, you can see the aura or the enhancement of the beauty of holiness upon that person. Oh, it's wonderful and joy unspeakable and full of glory and how sweet it is for the brothers to dwell within the ring of fire. Those altars were built and designed to give you an interdimensional acceptance or pursuit or hunger when you stand on it. You see, we've gone on the altar for the last 7 nights seeking pursuit of the inward man, to feed the inward man. Oh, yes, there's commitment because the altar that we worshiped on is in the wilderness. Yes, we went there, and yes, the elements are at sometimes unkind to those, you see. But you see, people in the flesh realm will go to the ball games, the football games, where the stadiums, the 100,000 or better seated stadiums, to the racetracks, where there's 170,000 and up, where there's harsh elements, snow. We have those who will rip their shirts off to display their ability to suffer for their team. And they'll sit in a blinding snowstorm naked to prove their loyalty just to their team and its colors. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want your color spectrum to be enhanced, then turn to the inner ring of fire and pray that the dominion of the Spirit could take precedent over your life and that the flesh man would be put in its proper place, which is last. It's the Spirit man that is first and the flesh man which is second. But the flesh man determines and wrestles against the Spirit man, claiming that he should be fed first and you later. Well, since there's not any pressing, gnawing, hunger pains in the belly of the natural man when the spirit is hungry, you see, when you're failing, or when you are cold, or when you're separated, or when you're indifferent, or when you fail to read, when you fail to fast, when you fail to pray, when you fail to draw near, then that inward man begins to become weak and sick. And he lays in an anemic state, no demand, he's just in a limbo. He's far past the urge of hunger. You see, you gotta cultivate hunger in the inward man. To create a hunger in the inward man, you must fast and pray to open the ring of fire into the inner belly, for he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you willing tonight to make the commitment? Has the inward man cried out to you? Has he pleaded with you to put aside those foolish things that you do in denying? And by the way, those things that you do get you into a lot of do-do. Do-do this, do-do that. And don't do anything to feed, clothe, shelter, enhance, brighten, enlighten the inward man. Starving for affection, starving for food. Denied. Remember, he said, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll sup with you. I'll eat with you. I'll share with you. You see, that's the spirit man being fed from the inner ring of fire. For if the man that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. Remember that Joseph dreamed the dream, and he said, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. Have you ever figured out what those 11 stars are? Don't you know that Joseph was the 11th? Sun in the 12-star arrangement? Don't you know that the sun represents the Holy Spirit of the ring of fire, that you get warmth and energy from the sun? And without the sun, this earth would become a ice ball swirling through the desolate universe in search of the flame of fire, or what we call the ring of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you that Joe... As the four beasts of Revelations chapter 4 and verse 6, and in the book of Ezekiel, which is, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we have the same analogy, same scripture, to give us a double witness of the face of the lion, the face of the bull, the face of the eagle, and the face of the man, the four principal cardinal points. Remember that the eagle, which was in the south, which was Reuben, failed to understand the importance of his eagle status. You see, the eagle is the number one bird that has the beautiful ability, and America is displayed as the eagle. But did you know that the eagle lost its birthright? Did you know that the birthright was stolen from the one that should have had it? Would have been Reuben, the elder son, who was in line in biblical law, that the elder was to receive the covenant blessing of being the elder of the tribe, or inheriting the birthright property in the house of Israel. Now, it took the 11th son. Here it is, the 11th star was the brightest star in the constellation. Now, this brightest star that we have is the star of Sirius in the constellation of Orion. Orion means the white Milky Way that goes through the center. And when you build an altar in the biblical proportions and outlay it within the framework of the mathematical standards, and you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the apostles, along with the Messiah, used this external altar to record the inward ring of fire within the center of your heart, laying 11 ounces approximately, with the 11 ribs encased into the heart of fire, for the perfect man, with the 22 sacred letters of the language of the enlightened ones, to the 33 points of the nervous system of the spine, which is the 33rd parallel of your heart, mind, and soul in parallel to the sacred throne that is sitting in the north. I hope that you can understand where I'm coming from. Praise Yahweh. In Job 38:31, it says, the Pleiades of Orion. Isn't it wonderful and marvelous that in the belt of Orion, which is the center belt, which is recorded in a factual, symbolic building located in Egypt, built not by the Egyptians, as man supposes, and they get all the credit because they are there to possess the land, only now, in the last 3,000 years or so, have we had a thought process that the Egyptians built the pyramids. They were built by the builders of the Aryan generation of Adam. Enoch, in the book of Enoch, in the book of Jasher, the Bible says that Joseph handed Benjamin, the son of the left hand, he handed him a book, a star book, and asked if he could find his brother Joseph, who was missing. And Benjamin, not knowing Joseph was his long-lost brother. You see, when the house of Israel is redeemed, when the house of Israel awakens with the ring of fire burning in their belly, then and only then will we recover the blindness that has happened to Israel. Then we'll know who our enemy is. We'll see the results of blindness, and that we become the tail when we should be the head, and as Joseph, the love of son, restored in the divine covenant order of the master numbers of 11, 22, and 33 to develop the ring of fire in the center of the heart, where the enemy who has stolen the message and stolen the knowledge, and my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, Hosea 4 and 6, and Job 38. Again, it gives a Pleiades of the Orion. If you'll study the feature of what Joseph was talking about, you'll see the belt of Orion, and the star in the center is the 11th sun in the navel of the attachment of the ability to feed the spirit man from the belly. And as the scripture said, if a man believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. In Psalms 136, it says that the sun rules, and the moon rules, and the stars rule. This is the dream that Joseph had recorded in Psalms 136. In Psalms 147, verse 4, the stars have a name. Isn't it interesting? If you'll go to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, I want to show you something that may present something to you that could be, and we know that the King James Bible then has, you know, well, chopped up, if that could be a proper word, term, that the Bible has been badly translated. The King James still remains the favorite reading book on the planet. It's no worse than any of the others, and it's no better much, although there's some edition that have got so far out that I don't recommend them. So I recommend you stay with the King James, but rightly divide it. Search out. Search and see where they change the text. Now, if you look at chapter 10, it says that the Messiah chooses 12 apostles. These are the 11 stars, with Joseph being the 12th. And here the Messiah, who was incidentally from the hidden house of Joseph, he was not Jewish. We have a $5,000 reward for anybody can prove it, and yet we don't get any takers. And we're not to challenge you or to, we're just trying to provoke you to create a hunger for the inward man, to come out of the bell box mentality of the things that they have lied to you about and have failed to tell you the whole truth, as it is recorded, rightly divided in the Bible, not as it's read. These are the names, look here, in verse 2. Listen to it. Now, if you'll read, you'll catch something right here. And it's going to help you to see some of the subtle changes or misappropriations or mistranslations into the Bible. And I'll prove to you, between verse 2 and verse 3, that we have a misappropriation of the translation in the King James Bible. Now, others do the same, but we're going to prove to you. Now, the names of the 12 apostles, now you can count them, but if you count them, there is 13 listed here instead of 12. Now, we know he just chose 12, and one of them was the devil, and one of them also, another one, could have been suspect. But here we go, here we go. Remember now, these are the 12. The first, Peter, that's number 1. Andrew is number 2. James is number 3. And John is 4. Now, here we go with the four faces of the lion and the eagle and the man and the lion. Philip is 5. Bartholomew is 6. Thomas is 7. Matthew is 8. James is 9. Zebedeus is the 10. Simon is the Canaanite, is 11. Judas Iscariot is 12. Now, wait a minute here. Do not we have 13 lists it with Simon the Canaanite. Go back up to verse 4, read again, Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot. Now, wait a minute. Is this a mistranslation in verse 4 of the King James Bible? Of course it is. Judas was the son of Simon the Canaanite. Oh, my. We don't have 13 apostles here listed, but if we include Simon the Canaanite, it's listed in the genealogy downline or the count number of those that was chosen from the 12 tribes. Christ had 12 apostles. These were recorded. They had to be 12, one of them a devil. That would be Judas Iscariot. And so Simon would not be, if you count the two Simons, we got 13. There's two listed in between chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 4. There's two Simons, one a Canaanite and one Simon Peter, which would be 13 that he chose instead of 12, and we all know that he chose 12. What is wrong with the translation? Well, if you look up the word Simon, you'll find out that he was the father of Judas. Yeah. If you'll read and study that the Canaanites had a seed in the house of Israel, recorded from the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 1 through 4, and in 46, 10, and 12, these Canaanite offspring went with the sons of Israel down into the land of Egypt and miscegenated, mixed and mingled with the house of Israel, and came up as scribes and Pharisees, mixed with the Canaanite seed, and recorded in John 8:44, of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar from the very beginning, and a murderer. Now listen to this. In Luke 10:22, remember Joseph was hated by the brethren for his dream. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Do you have a name that you're hated, or do you have a name that's accepted? Did you believe that someone came along in the King James Bible and inserted some false, blasphemous names to apply to your Savior? You think someone would dare to do that? In the form of Zeus? Well, it happened right under, very subtly, very crafty, by the translators, and also they changed the Sabbath day. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbath day is not on Saturday. And you people that worship on Saturday as a Sabbath, the Father bless you and give you understanding to know and to understand that the Saturday of the seventh-day cycle that the line translators and scribes and those are associated with Christianity has put in a Gregorian calendar for you, and they gored your understanding and sealed or forbidden for you to go into the inner kingdom to get the revelation that the true Sabbath is on a lunar setting, that you might have right to the tree of life, and that the feast of Passover is in the second Passover to be represented. Remember, if Christ didn't die in the first Passover, then the one that is celebrated in heaven in recognition would be the second one, and the second was always celebrated for those in a far journey. But remember that those that went to a far journey would become blind and oblivious to the change and lose their understanding of the sacred assembly of the 11 birthright son, Joseph, as the grand master, if you will, of the house of Israel. Not the fourth son, Judah, who is now been given top billing as God's chosen people, and it's the biggest lie that the devil ever told, because Almighty Yahweh did not say that. And so then anybody that believes that has got a warped, deceived, deceptive, uncommitted, because if you'll study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, you'll know all these mysteries. You'll see all these things when it says in Luke 22, or Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them not. In the original text, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Those that killed him were Canaanite, Jew-blooded, mixed with the Jewish tribe of Judah. Oh, my. And appeared as God's people even 2,000 years ago. Christ recognized who they were. He cried out against the sins and the miscegenation and their bloodline when he said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar and a murderer. These are the Canaanites, and Simon the Canaanite, Matthew 10 and 4. Was not one of the apostles. He was the father of Judas, who was the Canaanite that betrayed him. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been many things hidden from the eyes of churchianity. And for the lack of commitment, for the lack of study, for the lack of prayer, for the lack of fasting, for the lack of praying, in, if you will, a dedicated, determined, devoted prayer, not a little, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more after your soul than your Heavenly Father. It is more valuable than a sparrow, and Satan, who is out to deceive the very elect, has done a crafty, subtle, master job with the Illuminati, the New World Order, which was here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, when the serpent came on the scene and received his marching orders to go forth to make war with the seed, the offspring of the woman. And how better to do it than to turn his seed into the people of God and the true people of God into heathenistic, lost, blind Gentiles. Oh my, I see that my time is coming on. Final episode, Ring of Fire. If you'd like to have the complete series, you can have it by simply writing tonight, Pastor Buddy. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284. You see, I fast and pray. You see, I'm a full-time minister. You see, I've done my homework. I've studied for over 50 years in the Bible. I've got my time in. I've been dedicated for the last 40 years as a pastor. I've been in the trenches doing spiritual warfare, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities ordained to deceive the very elect, or to hinder you, or to turn you around, or to veer you off to a seem right way, and many there be that go thereon. Don't be a victim of the circumstances beyond your knowledge. For Satan, being a wise, a crafty destroyer of those that had the birthright, and that's you, the house of Israel, the scattered sheep, in Numbers chapter 10 through verse 6. And I wanted you to see that there's 13 indicated in the book of Matthew 10. Between verses 2 and verses 4, there's 13 disciples chosen, and there's only 12. One of them is the devil, and as I said, Simon the Canaanite was the father, and they failed to put it in. I wonder why. So then you would not know that a genetic bloodline of Cain was walking with the 12. Ladies and gentlemen, he came right out of the tribe of Judah. Now, that doesn't mean that all the house of Judah was out of the bloodline of Cain. It just means that there was a mixture of the blood of Cain in the blood of Judah, and the miscegenation caused the blindness and the downfall of the house of Israel. And here's Pastor Buddy in the last days, a son of Joseph, coming back to bring light to those that sit in darkness. And if you hear his voice today, harden not his heart. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. I hope you're getting it tonight. I hope we're coming in loud and clear wherever you're at. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. That's two words, N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, the zip, important, just get that and you've got it, 37824. Now, my telephone number, I'm live tonight on WWCR. This is May the 9th. We're around the world in Christian Talk Radio, the mighty voice of WWCR. And so if you'd like to call us, area code 423-626-2172. That, again, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary tonight, well, if you'd like to call him tomorrow, you'd get a recording if you call that. Call between the business. We need your help. If we could get more recorded time, we're only on once a week, and that's all we can afford. We're hoping in the near future to be blessed to have time, more time on the radio. We're working on a contract right now to go on internet shortwave internet, that we can be around the world on your computer sets. So we'll keep you posted to that. So people are beginning to want to help us. And to keep this voice, we believe it's the voice of truth, inspired not by our imagination or for filthy lucre. We don't work for filthy lucre, but we know that the Bible says if you want to be blessed, you can support it. The Father will bless you. He will doubly bless you in the kingdom to come. You will not lose your reward. Dr. Gary, call him tomorrow between the business hours of 9 to 5, 1-877-289-7439, or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These are men that will take your commitment, pledge support, or you can call Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. And write us if you'd like to request our series, Skull and Bones, which is a tape set, which is intricately connected to the Ring of Fire, which there's four here. There's nine tapes. Send us a love offering, and we'd be glad to send that out to you. If you'll do so, help us on the broadcast. Now, let me tell you that in the next episode that we're going to begin a complete new series on end-time prophetic prophecies of what's coming up for you in the next few years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that we're in the end time. We know that the Father who records this event as one day is 1,000 years, so don't panic because the end is not yet. But it's getting close and nigh, even at the door, because the prophetic signs of Matthew chapter 24 is unfolding, and you will need the Ring of Fire. You will need the correct alignment, how to pray. Write me or call me, and let's talk about these things on how to worship your Heavenly Father, as it's recorded in John chapter 4, verse 24, in spirit and truth. Now, the bell box, church entity, they give you the convenience, the air conditioning, and yet the Heavenly Father wanted you to stay primitive, like nature, like the sun and the moon and the 12 stars, the things that you can see at night. They took us out of the worship mode, and they put us into, if you will, where we couldn't even as much as look up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have enjoyed being with you tonight, and we pray that the Heavenly Father will give you blessings.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.